call this meeting to order at 6:33. Agenda?
I want to make an amendment to the agenda.
Can we hear you okay? Can you just, I'll turn it up, but try again. Is that better?
That's better.
Okay.
So I'm going to make an amendment to the agenda. Under bylaw 444-22, section 93, in the absence of any statutory obligation, any provision of this bylaw may be waived by resolution of council, provided a unanimous vote of all the members to deal with specific matter under consideration. So my amendment is to bring question period back. Comments, anything, John?
No, not really.
Okay, motion on the, can you turn me down a little, please?
Sorry.
That's really loud.
Motion on the table is to amend the agenda to bring back question period. Any comments?
I thought we just suspended it.
She wants to bring it back though. Any discussion? Okay, we'll take it to a vote to amend the agenda to bring back question period. All in favor?
On second, I want to request for a recorded vote.
So all in favor of bringing back question period as it stands right now?
Yes.
Yep.
Rose, or Mayor, your vote.
Oh, no.
I have an amendment as well, or a request for when this is finished, if that's okay, for the agenda.
Point of order is not for the floor, it is for the council. Thank you.
To add to the agenda business item 11.8, 4-H beef club donation request, and here is what was supposed to be earlier, some copies of RFD if you don't mind passing them out. Thank you. And also mention there's a clarification I wanted to make when we come to correspondence, so I can fill that in a bit later.
Okay, agenda. Can I get a motion to accept the agenda as presented with the amendments?
Put that motion forward.
Amendments, right?
Both. As amended, yes.
Yeah, as amended. Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
No. Please record the vote.
If I may just say, it's best if the request for a recorded vote is put before the vote, technically, that's, so, just saying. Okay, thank you, sorry.
All in favor to accept the agenda as amended? Okay. before we start delegation, I have a little bit of housekeeping to do. Each member or delegate shall address the council through the presiding officer, but shall not speak until recognized. When addressing council, a member, delegate, or the public shall not address council without permission, will remain orderly and quiet, not shout, raise his or her voice, or use offensive, disrespectful, or unkind words in referring to any member or to any official or staff member of the village or any member of the public. Not reflect on any vote of council except when moving to rescind it, and shall not reflect on the motives of the members who voted on the motion or the mover of the motion. Assume personal responsibility for any statement he quotes to council or upon request of council shall give the source of information. The presiding officer may rule any member out of order for failing to observe any of the restrictions in section 19. The presiding officer may expel from a meeting any member, delegate, or any person from the public who disturbs the proceedings of this meeting. So we'll call on the first delegate, which is Dave Marshall.
Can you try the mic? Is it okay? Is it okay? Can you say hello? Just maybe say something.
Hello.
Okay, is that good enough? Okay, thank you. Oh, that must be a motorcycle. Are you ready to go?
Yeah. Yep, thank you.
I'm here today to speak in reference to bylaw 444-22, a procedure bylaw. According to the bylaw, paragraph 70, a committee of the whole is established by statute, so the committee exists. The committee consists of all members of council and the CAO. The committee of the whole meetings, as referred in this bylaw, will occur on dates and times agreed upon by all those members of the committee. The committee of the whole meetings have been ignored, I think, for the better part of the last council as well as this council, and yet they are a required meeting. The advantage of the committee of the whole meeting is that it is a time when work can be done. There's no voting at the meeting, but there's certainly discussion, which I do believe we've all seen has been lacking up to this point. Specifically, there was a lot of people, many were present here today, that were told there were going to be further discussions on the pet bylaw, which didn't appear to take place, or questions asked of that thing, which were not answered because it was going to be a meeting to take place. The committee of the whole meeting would have provided an opportunity for an open discussion. Subsequent to that, I believe that one of our counselors was blindsided by two other counselors having a meeting privately, not sharing that meeting with either the third counselor or the public. And I don't think that's a good reflection on the village, and not a good way for a council to operate. So I would make a very strong suggestion that council follow their own bylaw and start having committee of the whole meetings. The meetings are open to the public. There is no question period. It's not to answer any questions. But it is open, and it's an opportunity for discussion on upcoming bylaws and resolutions. The second part of that bylaw does not make adhered to and needs to be adhered to is answering questions. Now I understand some discussion is a question period may disappear. However, there are many unanswered questions from the past. I'm going to bring your attention to paragraph 47. If an immediate answer is not available, the questioner will be given a reply through the CAO or, as council may determine, as soon as possible. Now, I personally had a question two council meetings ago. It was a very simple question. I was in a question and response to a comment from the mayor who said that cats had been left out of the bylaw because it was deemed to be economically not viable to include cats in the bylaw. My question was very simply, if that was the case, how is it economically viable to include chickens? I was told that that was going to be discussed at a further meeting, and I would get my answer at that time. That further meeting never took place, and I still don't have my answer. But that isn't allowable under your bylaw. Your obligation is to answer the questions that were given to you. So, 2 points. Committee of the Whole meeting needs to be resurrected and take place on a regular basis. And we do need to get answers to the questions that were presented to council as per the bylaw. Are there any questions?
Council, have any questions? None at this time. Thank you. Ashley Grady.
Good evening, Council. Ashley Grady here. So this delegation that I bring forward concerns and observations made by residents as they relate to the following provincial and municipal acts, bylaws, and regulations. The Alberta Tobacco Smoking and Vaping Reduction Act, Alberta Tobacco Smoking and Vaping Reduction Regulation goes hand in hand with the Act, and our very own bylaw 414-18. Each of these establishes a number of measures to protect Albertans from the harming effects of tobacco, secondhand smoking, vaping. As been observed by residents of Longview and myself, there seemed to be a lack of governance and adherence to these laws by notable individuals. The provincial act lists prohibited areas where there is to be no smoking or vaping and refers to the provincial regulation, which stipulates exact distances and permitted variances. The Village of Longview bylaw provides additional information and restrictions that fall in line with the provincial statutes. They are as follows. Definitions of each of these can be found in referred acts, regulations, and our bylaw. Prohibited areas, provincial. Public buildings or spaces, work buildings, work vehicles, hospitals, including grounds, schools, and childcare properties. Distance limitations, provincial. Windows, doors, and air intake vents are 5 meters. Distance limitations, municipal. Community halls, libraries, schools, sports fields, skate rinks, playgrounds, outdoor pools, and skate parks are 10 meters. The sign on the Longview Community Hall has a minimum distance of 5 meters for smoking, which contravenes the bylaw distance of 10 meters. Directly beside the main entrance doors is an ashtray, which brings the secondhand smoke and possible act of smoking into a restricted space. And it is still sitting out there today. I witnessed it when I walked in. At the March 17th, 2026 meeting, I personally witnessed. In addition, members of the village have witnessed council members and village staff smoking at entrances to public buildings, including the village office, which gives access to the post office and village library. This is an absolute offense of provincial and municipal laws and regulations. Regarding workplaces, enforcement and compliance of these laws by employees is the responsibility of management, in this case, the village CEO.
Just hold, please.
I'm supposed to be able to read my delegation uninterrupted as per our bylaw 444-22.
Except, if I may say.
Except when it comes to a FOIP HR matter about staff. So please, you can't be addressing certain employees on this. It's an administrative matter. So
I never mentioned a name, I just said employees.
Yes, but according to FOIP, I think some people could figure out who we're talking about. So.
Well, not necessarily, because there's many employees in the village.
Okay.
Not on equipment.
Many employees are not on equipment.
Continuing on, the provincial regulation is clear that failure to enforce these laws can result in prosecution and fining said employees and managers. Fines related to these offenses range from $500 to $750 or more, depending on violation, frequency, and establishment impact. Within the village bylaw, Schedule A, penalties for smoking or vaping in public space is a minimum of $150 to $300. As a resident of Longview, I request the following. New conspicuous signs that align with bylaw 414-18, enforcing a minimum 10-meter distance from public premises, buildings, and doors, and 5 meters from windows and air intake vents. Removal of ashtrays near said doors in public spaces placed at conspicuous locations meeting the minimum distance requirement. Removal of ashtrays and all tobacco vaping-related elements in village work vehicles to prevent smoking and vaping while in use. Proper education and training of all village employees, council members included, on these regulations and associated fines should they be found at fault in observing them. And in relation to item 4 above, CAO issuing instruction to bylaw and police officers to enforce these laws upon all members of council and village staff to ensure compliance. And a rigorous cleanup of public space to remove any and all litter related to past offenses, providing Longview residents with the clean village they deserve. The smoking and vaping restrictions and bans are in place to protect Alberta residents. If our own elected public servants are not following provincial and municipal laws, how does that reflect upon our village? Cigarettes littered everywhere on sidewalks, in the flower pots next to the village office, post office, library entrance, directly by the community hall entrance, outside our information center next to the campground. What are people going to think when they visit? Wow, this is a beautiful place, or this place is gross. Take pride in your community by following the Provincial Tobacco Smoking and Vaping Act, along with our own bylaw, 414-18. It is a smear on the village for an elected official to be fined for breaking laws. For example, the distracting drive ticket. Thank you, Council. Any questions?
Any questions? No questions. Thank
if
you.
If council would like a copy of this at the end, I can give them a copy. Thank you.
Yes, we'd like a copy. CAO would like a copy, please.
Would you like for me to get to you now?
I can take it now if that works. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next is Marge Bird.
Yes, you can. Thank you.
So these questions previously submitted but not adequately answered. Can you please provide an itemized list of all expenses incurred by the village for each counselor and administration to attend any and all conventions and association meetings during the year 2025? These expenses would include but not be limited to registration fees, hotel room expense, travel expense, meals, etc. Available.
Could we have the presentation and request finished, please, and we'll follow up.
All right. Responsible pet ownership bylaw 480-25, sections 6.3A to B and G to K. Copy is attached to your copies. The question is regarding a person or animal entering onto a private property uninvited. Keyword being uninvited. Example, if someone comes onto my property uninvited, my dog bites him or her, this bylaw deems my dog to be at fault as defined in section 6.3A to B. How does council justify this? Section 6.3E concludes as follows, quote, unless the person chased or threatened is a trespasser on the owner's property. Should not all sections conclude with this verbiage? How does council intend to police all of the above noted sections of this bylaw? Responsible pet ownership bylaw 480-25, section 15.1, communicable diseases. When I previously asked why this bylaw pertains only to dogs and not cats, council responded that the village does not have the resources to control cats. Does that mean then that if cats have a communicable disease, they will be allowed to roam the village. Correspondence received by the village, which is to be included on the meeting agenda, would it not be appropriate for the correspondence to be read at the meeting for anyone who is not able to access the agenda package? Councillor reports, should these not be in a written format as opposed to a verbal report given at meetings? Any questions?
Council, have any questions? No questions, thank you.
And the answers will be?
So
is
the presentation finished? Because this is not question period, so I will be making some statements, but this is not a debate session. Question period.
I'm not debating, Roy. I simply asked, am I going to get the answers to my questions, which are submitted in my delegation under the proper protocols?
Yes, once your presentation is finished.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. So in terms of the expenses, under the expenses time period, I can submit an email back. That will need to be a FOIPATIA request from yourself to cover that type of information. In terms of the uninvited, I would want to do two things. This was attempted to be answered last meeting, and there's also a further step, which is being taken. So I'll start with that. So in communication in council with our Diamond Valley Policing to get some clarification. So on point 6A through D, which do not include, I am, as CAO, exploring the comment you made there, like, should it not apply? So that is in process, and similarly, policing. Actually, it's in process, but Diamond Valley Policing is busy, so I'm in wait mode there. So this is already in process, but I also wanted to state something that had already been prepared before, which pertains, so whether or not everybody wants to listen to the whole thing this time, it was a legitimate, sincere attempt by Diamond Valley Policing, who helped prepare this bylaw, to sincerely answer that question. So, just one moment, please. Okay, yeah. So it runs like this. The bylaw does not automatically condemn or euthanize a dog simply because it bites someone. Each incident must be investigated before any decision is made. So I'm going to add a little bit in here. So this very first statement is indicating the idea that a dog is not automatic. Well, it says it's not automatically condemned or seen to be at fault. So that's already an answer right there. But I'll continue. Under the Responsible Pet Ownership Bylaw, if a complaint is received about a dog bite or other aggressive behavior, the animal control officer investigates the circumstances and gathers information from the dog owner, the complainant, and any witnesses. The Chief Administrative Officer, CAO, then reviews the information before determining whether the dog should be declared a vicious dog. So again, this is all just to say that it isn't automatically a dog bites somebody uninvited, they're automatically guilty. This is explaining that doesn't take place right away. The bylaw also requires that the circumstances surrounding the incident be considered as part of the investigation. This includes factors such as whether the person was bitten, was a trespasser on the owner's property, which was meant was part of the question, and the dog was defending livestock while acting as a working stock dog in another situation. These circumstances must be considered when determining whether a dog should be declared a vicious dog. Excuse me, I'm just running a bit dry. Even when a dog is declared vicious, this does not mean the dog is automatically destroyed. The bylaw allows CO to impose conditions to protect public safety, such as secure confinement on the property, muzzling, leashing when off the owner's property, and posting warning signage. The CAO cannot order a dog to be destroyed. Only a provincial court judge may order euthanasia, typically in very serious circumstances. In terms of enforcement, the bylaw is primarily enforced through complaints and investigations by the animal control officer. When a complaint is received, the officer investigates the incident, determines whether the bylaw has been contravened, and may issue fines, impose containment conditions, or begin the process for vicious dog designation, depending on the evidence and circumstances. Relevant sections of the bylaw include definition of trespasser, section 7.6, C6A, dog attacked or bit a trespasser, section 7.6C6B, dog defending livestock as a working stock dog. Okay, so that is the next steps on that part of the delegation. Communicable diseases. So this was prepared for last meeting as well by help with the policing. I will submit it today to council, having the chance to do that. So section 15 of the Responsible Pet Ownership Bylaw applies specifically to dogs. It requires that if a dog is suffering from a communicable disease, the owner must keep the dog secured, prevent it from being in public spaces, keep it away from other animals, and report the matter to the appropriate veterinary authority and the animal control officer. This section focuses on dogs because they are the primary animals regulated under the village's Responsible Pet Ownership Bylaw and are more commonly involved in bite incidents or attacks, which can present a more immediate risk to public safety. From a practical enforcement perspective, dogs can generally be located and captured more easily than cats. Dogs will often respond when called or can be physically restrained by an animal control officer. Cats tend to behave differently and usually require trapping in order to be captured. Humane trapping requires regular monitoring to ensure the animal does not suffer from dehydration or starvation, which increases operational costs and staffing requirements. In addition, animal shelters in the region generally have limited capacity and do not readily accept cats. The village currently has the ability to utilize Diamond Valley Dog Shelter Kennel for dogs when required. However, a similar arrangement is not available for cats. It is also worth noting that communicable animal diseases are primarily regulated by the province of Alberta under legislation such as the Animal Health Act and the Public Health Act. Veterinarians and provincial authorities have responsibilities for reporting and managing certain diseases that may affect animal or human health. If someone observes a sick cat, the appropriate step would be to contact the Alberta SPCA so that a provincial peace officer can attend and address the situation. So specifically, can they freely roam, I think was in here. So to some extent, yes. And what I have just read is the things that try to help with that. And the complications of it have been listed. Okay, so yeah, that would be Mark's, does council want to take over for the last two?
Again, delegations are not the questions, but we will answer these. So correspondence received by the village, which is to be included on the meeting agenda, would it not be appropriate for correspondence to be read at the meeting for anyone who is not able to access the agenda package? It is recommended best practice to list correspondence on the meeting agenda as a reference for public or staff. The MGA does not mandate that all letters or emails sent to council need to be read aloud. CAO has discretion to handle which items are included for council review. the council report, should they not be in written format as opposed to verbal. Sometimes we just get busy and don't have time to get our written one in. Verbal reports are documented and are available in the minutes. Okay, moving on. Correspondence from Kathy Selby.
May I just interject, Mayor, Council Mayor? So there is a clarification I just wanted to make on the documents provided for this correspondence, is that the intention is to specifically focus on the maintenance, excuse me, the maintenance program and schedule with qualified individuals to report on deficiencies in all municipal buildings. So I just wanted to make a clarification of what this topic is.
So report on all.
Yeah, that's right.
So would that not be another FOIP or access to information?
Okay.
CAO, follow up on that?
Okay.
Campground concerns from Sabrina Baker. Do you want to make any comments on that one?
Yes, please. Just allow me a moment to catch up in the documentation here. So this is already in progress. The request was, there's some pictures as you have observed and some requests for some cleanup. So this is already in progress and will continue. So if somebody wants to go look at you, you can seriously see some significant changes have already been made. So this is well in progress already.
Okay, thank you. We'll move forward.
Let me just check the, yes, please.
Okay. On to the minutes of the regular council meeting, Tuesday, March 17th. Any errors, council? I'll make the motion to accept the minutes as presented. All in favor? Okay. Action item list.
Okay. Yes, any questions on the action item list? Council, please. There has not been much change there.
Council should note that effective March 13th, the province of Alberta implemented increased penalties for several traffic-related offenses. Under this change, fines for many common offenses increased by 30%, while high-risk driving offenses increased by 50%. So that's kind of nice. Not really, but it is. Comments? Anything? Right. Now we'll move on to the
CAO report.
Any questions, council, please, on the CAO report?
First aid course, did you take that?
Yes, I, there is a occupational health and safety requirement for employers. And so, long story short, I did take it, yes. Oh, sorry. Is there any other questions, council? Oh, well, that's, isn't that the next, let's just see the order here. So the,
yeah.
The water reports are after the council reports, is that what you're referring to?
Yeah.
So, part 6 and 7, follow-ups Westview Place contractor, is that?
Oh, sorry, back to my.
There.
Okay, so yes, this is an ongoing situation. And legal is involved, and engineering is involved, and bonding company is involved, so it is ongoing. And the second one was 7, was that your?
Yes.
There have been a few meetings, and some sponsorship letters have been generated, and they are going to be submitted. Thinking within the next few days, there's been a number of revisions. There's been help from a number of people as to who to approach. So we have that list, finalized letters. There's also continued looking for grants. And there's a number of, I don't have by memory, but there's a number of other persons and groups, seniors, for example, I know the monies have already been accumulating in various areas towards this project. So the summary would be the focus right now is to try and get money in place to finance the project. And the sequence is once sufficient money is in place, then it could be tendered out as a program and work could commence. So that's in high level the sequence.
Any other questions?
Yeah, maybe. Is it possible for council to be taking the first aid course too?
Sorry, I'm just thinking of, I have an immediate response. I personally would love that so much. The thing about that is the more, the better. It's about safety and so on, but I'm sure everybody understands common sense. In terms of budgeting, that I wouldn't mind to take back and look just to see. Clearly for the employees, there is a requirement and we need to budget for that, at least one, which has been done. I'm not sure to what extent we're budget fits. I don't want to make this a long-winded response. So may I please just follow up where budget fits? Having said that, it would be great, the more the better, because then somebody can save somebody.
We're on the disaster board thing too, right?
Emergency
management, of course.
Moving forward.
Just one question on the audit in process. Is that in progress? Is that going to be available by May 1st?
The auditor is trying his best. Not sure at this point. Just for frame of reference, within the last 2 years, we did miss, and it was the same. I'll back up a little more. So we, our auditor resigned, council, a few years ago, and that was because of shortage of staff, nothing to do with us as a village. And it's a common trend, challenge getting workers. And so we were at one point worried we would even have an auditor. It was actually a scary place to be. Fortunately, we found one lead, and it ends up, long story short, with who we have. The catch was, and it was the only lead, this is my point, otherwise we wouldn't even have an auditor for who knows when. But he said, I'll try and help you, but I also am small and I have to do tax, and I committed, so that will have to, I don't think he said come first, but it has to have a lot of priority and I'll do what I can. So I believe he gave it his best, and it ended up that we were a bit late. And so we both went through this once. He doesn't want to do it again. There's no intention or no neglect or laziness or apathy or something. Just trying to balance. So I'm not sure he's doing his best to get there. I will say one other thing, just because I was very scared and nervous too, is that I needed to be, on behalf of the village, a CEO, in contact with government officials about, hey, we're gonna be late on this. So this, we're not the only one facing this, and there are, not, this doesn't justify it, doesn't make it okay, but it does state that the provincial government is aware, and it does happen actually more than you might think. So it basically comes down to just keep us, do your best, we need to see you're trying your best, but just keep us informed and we'll work with you. So what else can they do, you know? So I thought that context would be useful to know, though. It is understood, and we are certainly trying our best.
Okay, so council reports. I have one really. March 24th was the REC committee meeting, and they did their allocation for funds. And March 26th, they're supposed to have a FRESC meeting, but it got canceled.
What was that date, please? Sorry.
March 26th.
Thank you.
I had March 24th with Westwinds, and that was all.
I just had a meeting in the library this morning on the 22nd, no, 21st.
Thank you. Foothills County March 2026 Water Management Report. Is there anything that needs to be reported?
I am certainly no expert on these matters, but I chose to put in a bunch of certificates because I thought that would tell quite a story and good information. Certainly they show that we're compliant, and it's good. I mean, they manage our water, but it is a village team effort, have done well within the satisfactory or mandated requirements. So some would say, I think the certificates might even say some are congratulations. So that basically we're meeting the requirements, and this is a special time of recognition.
Thank you. Can I get a motion to accept the reports as presented? All in favor?
Carried.
Okay, financial, your turn again.
Yes, any question from council on the financials? So again, we're doing okay. Cash balance, the cash in the bank. Expenses and revenues pretty much as expected. No big surprises, would be important to note. So just generally doing okay. Any specific questions?
have none? We can move on.
No questions. We move on to the accounts payable check register. Move on. No questions.
Quite a bit lower than last time.
No questions, Joe? Okay, moving on to the year-to-date budget versus actual revenue and expenses.
I've already made my statements.
Do you want to say we're sitting pretty or anything?
Actually, I'll repeat. Things are looking good, no surprises. We're in the expected range, so sorry if I didn't make that clear earlier. I'll just repeat. So we have money in the bank. Revenues and expenses are pretty much as expected. No surprises at this point, so it seems satisfactory.
All good, counsel?
All good?
Yep.
Okay. Can I get a motion to accept the financial as we presented?
Make a motion.
All in favor? Okay. All right, moving on to bylaws, county procedure bylaw 444-22 amendment.
Can I just make a comment?
So just by way of documentation and following the agenda, so the bylaw goes across two agenda items because there's a number of documents. So anyways, the first business item, 11.1, RFD Council Procedure Bylaw. So though that in the package, those series of documents relate to the one bylaw being looked at in the previous section. So you can look at those all together. I'm sure council has figured that out already. So I just wanted to say, so I'll leave it back to council.
Okay, so the RFD before us is, CAO was directed to present procedure bylaw amendments. Topics noted were respecting the council meeting hall chamber, deadlines for presentation submissions, presentation formats and content scope, other municipalities, council procedure bylaws were considered. CAO understands that council wishes to make effective, efficient use of time, knowing the questions and perspectives, background information in advance facilitates preparation. Presenters will want to minimize prepared time as they have other matters to attend to in their lives, looking for the balance. So first is the delegation or question period request for council to review.
Okay, may I?
Mm-hmm.
So there are a number of changes here. What is new, clearly, from the documentation is it's not only a bylaw council, it is a policy, application policy / policy that goes along with the bylaw. So just again, if you read the agenda package, you would have noted that. So that's what the first piece here is delegation or question period request application form. So it has the typical information requested, who is wanting to present what. And then there's a number of things that just try to achieve what was read in the by the mayor just a moment ago, efficient, effective information. So in advance, complete, making good use of time and giving prep time. So there was some 5-day advance notices before it's being moved to 8 days of time. And so one of the significant changes here is, I think, a change, let's just say a change, is question period in this these two documents would be, council, something that the questions would be, like, I need to say, like a number of other municipalities we reached out to, they need to be submitted in advance. So council knows the questions in advance and then deals accordingly. So because the similarity of that process with delegations, it was all lumped into one form. And actually, correspondence to some degree, council, becomes, is similar. So I believe there's even a statement in the documentation, the policy, that says all of those three things, including correspondence, if approved, should be in a delegation format per this application here. Basically just meaning let the council know in advance the questions, the relevant information. So anyways, that's a bit of a summary of some of the changes.
So if I'm reading this right, we're pulling out question period. We're moving to delegation, which has to be 8 days before the agenda. And then we're also removing council being able to ask questions in meetings. So how does this make sense? Questions come because of sitting through the meeting and going through the information in the meeting. How do you come up with a question before an agenda is even out?
They're not limited that way then. I'm just going to bring this forward first. So municipal inspection report in 2018 found that there was irregularities in meeting decorum. Transparent decision making is a fundamental tenet of local government. The right of the public to be present during council meetings in accordance with the MGA 198 is not intended to mean that the public can actively engage in council meeting discussions. Local governments follow a system of representative democracy where candidates are elected to represent the citizens. This is different from participative democracy or direct democracy, where all citizens are actively involved in all important decisions. To be clear, local governments in Alberta follow a system of representative democracy where citizens elect council members to represent them in making decisions. The irregularities were that council meetings were being disrupted. They encouraged that the question periods go to this format. Several communities have gone to this format, and they have found that by removing the actual question period from the meeting to written submissions has been a positive. So it, because it allows time for us to answer the question.
But if we have question period and people are asking questions and we don't have the full answer, we can say we can get back to them. So that gives us time to answer a question. This makes no sense to me whatsoever. These questions come up as you discuss things. And if we're going to be open and bringing our community together and trying to be transparent, they got to be able to ask questions.
We're not taking questions away from them.
Yeah, you are.
But you are.
You're out of order.
Okay.
You're doing pre-agenda, they don't even know what's on the agenda.
They do not now, they're not now limited to just the agenda.
But they could do that through delegation if they wanted to. We should still have questions on the agenda.
Well, they're still gonna have delegation or question period request. They have to submit it.
If approved.
And then FOIP everything?
I think we need to do research on the registration.
Do recall legislation.
I think you need to call a meeting to order here. So, yeah.
Yep.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor, for comments. So, for what it's worth, as the other municipalities we've reached out to have seen this work better for them. That's the understanding we have. Now, we are talking to the, you know, the council and admins. However, there's an opportunity for questioning. What this does, it actually broadens it. So as Mayor was saying, you're not limited to a particular agenda. That doesn't mean, you know, at a subsequent time, you can't ask a question. So if it requires, it goes to the next meeting to bring that question up. Well, that the not the advantage, but the, I guess, balancing of that is, it doesn't become something where council is facing unexpected items, and it just goes to another meeting anyways. I mean, that could be said as a contrary argument to what you just mentioned. The opposite, the downside is, if you have people coming forward and the council is not having this information in advance, it just needs to be deferred anyways, and it's going to be a later meeting. So this is a matter of no questions are going to be excluded that wouldn't be already. So I mean, certainly if there's inappropriate, that's another matter. But if they're reasonable questions and, you know, and sincere and so on, then they'll be mentioned. But this is structuring it so it's fair to the answering council elected officials as well. They're not caught off guard. They're just, and they just, the only thing they can do is say, let's defer this. So there is no exclusion of questions. It's a better dealing with the questions, a more efficient approach. Some would say, I mean, there's differing opinions, obviously.
So when you say you referred to or reference different municipalities, has it been a village or a town or city?
We haven't gone to a city. That wouldn't make sense. Villages, absolutely, and adjacent communities as well. So it's, definitely the same, similar size, and then some just because they're in the area and we work